The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, happy new year. Welcome along to The Punt as we look ahead to the FA Cup this weekend. First of all, a happy new year to you, Mr. Phelps.
Never have I heard a happy new year greeting given with such sincerity and gusto. Happy New Year to you as well, Dave.
Happy New Year, Derek.
Yes, same to you, Dave.
I said to myself I wasn't going to return to this podcast until I had a winning nap. One, Derek, that wasn't odds on, because I've got a man sat next to me who just picks odds on naps every single week.
You need to learn about betting a bit more. 5-2 is not odds on. Liverpool to win, both teams to score.
I was thinking about the under 2.5.
That's the only odds
under
on.
Under 2.5 goals.
Odds on nap. I've landed this season.
Is it?
Yes.
How many have you picked?
About 7.
We got the FA Cup this weekend, which we're looking forward to immensely.
William Hill, of course, the official betting partner as well.
So of course. Yeah, and
equally, even more important. Mm.
We've not got any televised games on Saturday, so we start off with Sunday's televised matches, and we're in Dover at 1 p.m. on Sunday for Dover versus Crystal Palace. Dover 7-1, the draw 16-5, Crystal Palace in the market at 4-9. And Lee, Dover have actually done incredibly well at the end of 2014 in the conference. They've not been beaten since the 18th of October, going 16 games unbeaten. They'll fancy this against Crystal Palace. I suppose that's one of the reasons why this is being televised. The television companies may be expecting an upset here.
Yeah. It's just got everything about it, hasn't it, that you'd expect in an FA Cup title. It'll be lively. I mean, I guess Dover will be hoping that this kind of this blustery weather continues, because you can almost imagine, like, you know, stuff blowing across the pitch as the ball just gets hoofed forward. That's from Palace, by the way, not from Dover. As you say, Dover, you know, I mean, obviously you put all this into context, but the last three home games, they put 5 past Nuneaton, 2-2 draw with Torquay, and put 4 past Welling United. Yeah, they are in confident form. That's all you can really ask for from a lower league team. This is a chasm, though, between these two. I think you know, we might say a few times in this podcast, and I think Derek pretty much agrees with this, that if you get a confident lower league side against a higher league side who are, you know, who are a little bit fragile maybe, or who might weaken down drastically, then I think you can justifiably have a go. This might be a bit much. I mean, Palace, you know, don't score goals away from home, do they? You know, one goal in the last six games they've scored away from home. That was against Swansea, which was 5 games ago. So, you know, they're not in good goal-scoring form. You wonder how much they will want to progress in this. If Warnock was still in charge, I would have had a bet quite squarely on Dover at 7-1.
Yeah.
Because he has, since Sheffield United had a really good cup run in the past, he's frequently weakened down. You just wonder with, you know, the new kind of new regime in charge, they obviously don't want to start off with a loss. 4-9 for a Premier League side against a team who are in the non-league of English football. It should be a good bet, that. But I can't quite find a way of backing it. So I think what I'll play is Crystal Palace to win the game, but both teams to score. Because I think with the likes of Tom Murphy, who's been in really good form for Dover recently, up front, and them scoring goals, I think they could get a goal and make it difficult for Palace. But I think Palace will get the job done eventually.
11-5 for Palace to win and both teams to score in the match. Lee,
I've got 2-1, is it not?
It's 11-5, so that's, you get more value there, Lee.
Yeah,
which is good news for you.
I like that.
Derek, Alan Pardew's involved now at Crystal Palace. Are you surprised by that switch from Newcastle to Palace?
Well, it's a sickener for Newcastle fans. Well, it's not a sickener that he's gone, but the fact that he's walked out to join Crystal Palace, is that saying Palace are a bigger club than Newcastle? I mean, it's beyond belief, isn't
close
it, really?
Close to home, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, but the fact that he's moved, you've got to say, I agree with you, Lee. I'd have been looking at Dover to win this one, even though it's my New Year's resolution not to back Dover in the FA Cup. I'm sick of doing it. But because, I mean, Pardew can't rock up at Palace And then Luke go out to Dover in the FA Cup. You know, he can't take it easy. He can't. You know, he's got to tell the player. I mean, he's not signed, sealed, and delivered yet at Palace, is he? But I mean, he's there beyond the, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's, whatever they do. Yeah, it's got to be Palace. They don't score goals away from home, but that's because they've been playing Premier League opposition. They're playing Dover now, who are non-league. Let's not forget. And you're right, 4-9 on paper should be a great bet. But remember, I've mentioned on this podcast in the past, Lee, remember that time when West Ham, similar to probably playing roughly the same as Palace are now, and they played a team called Emley. And I think, I don't know if they drew or got beat, I can't remember now, but Harry Redknapp was the manager at the time, and he said, Premier League players are Premier League players because they can turn it on consistently. I'm not saying that, you know, they're not brilliant, they're not superstars, apart from the Thierry Henry's, and they're not all superstars, but that you can rely on them to perform consistently. And the reason non-league players are non-league players is that they might give one fantastic game every 10 matches. And Emily had their 1-10 that day. Who's to say Dover can't do it? I mean, you're not saying that Palace, you know, there aren't superstars at Palace, are there? You know, it wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world if Dover to win this. But I think the change in management means that Palace have to be back there.
Yeah, yeah, I always remember that thing you said that Harry Redknapp told you, and I think that is fascinating. I think it's true as well. You know, you must be able to raise your game, you know, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Tom Murphy, by the way, I mentioned him 3-1 to score any time. That's a tremendous price. This guy is in great form. He's got 29 goals in their 15 match unbeaten run. You know, he's a goal scorer. And as Derek was just saying, I don't think it matters what level you're at. If you're a goal scorer, you get presented with a chance, you can take it in front of your own fans. I think that's my main bet. 3-1 for Tom Murphy to score any time in this match.
Palace 4-9. I know you've followed a few teams over a cliff in times, Derek, but I never thought you'd mention Dover. 7-1 Dover to win this game. The draw 16-5 Palace in the market, 4-9.
What price if Dover to win this? The commentator to say they think it's all Dover. It's got to, Annie. Got to.
Odds on.
I'm going for Palace to win and Dover in the goals. That wasn't worth saying, was it?
Shall I put a marker in there?
No, leave it in. I want people to know what level I'm working at.
Yeovil next. Yeovil versus Manchester United, which is live on the television at 3:30 p.m. on Sunday. Yeovil 12-1. The draw 5-1. Manchester United 2-9. Two headline offers here. James Hayter to score and Yeovil to win 20-1. Wayne Rooney to score and Man United to win 5-4. Yeovil have lost 3 straight in League One. They're rock bottom. But obviously, Derek, delighted to draw Manchester United, and manager Gary Johnson's saying all the right things in the build-up to the match, saying that deflects a bit of attention away from league performances recently. But they've only won once at home in League One all season. They've only scored 5 goals in those 12 matches as well.
That's a shocker, isn't it?
It's shocking. They're disappointing, Yeovil.
Well, didn't they? Weren't Yeovil the team years ago you didn't want to draw away in the FA Cup because they had that famous sloping pitch or something? You know, wasn't it Yeovil?
That.
Yeah, I don't. That seems to have long gone.
Don't know where that is. No, it wasn't at this stadium, was it?
No, it wasn't. No. That's what I mean.
It's right, you know, in the old days.
Yeah, it was the old days.
Probably
yeah,
before my time. That. Don't.
Yeah, yeah. God, how young are you? You're a whippersnapper.
I just turned 21.
But, I mean, it's Man United on the slide now, isn't it, in the last 2 years? I'd have to say, you know, 2-9 United to win against a team who've won only one at home, playing against the likes of Scunthorpe and Crawley and Crewe and Colchester, and now they're playing Man United. come on, it's as near a banker as you can get, isn't it? United. The thing about United this season as well is, let's not forget, they're not in Europe, they're out of the League Cup. They've got to start making a better progress in the FA Cup. They'll never ever get a game next season. This year. I'm going to go for United to win 2-0 here. I just can't see them. Even with that defence, I can't see them conceding. In fact, what I'll do is I'll go with United minus 2 goals at 6-4. That looks a very decent bet to me. Then.
Okay, United at minus 2 at 6-4. Louis van Gaal, Lee's been overly critical of the fixture list in the festive period. He must have known what to expect when he took over at Manchester United. It's been blown out of all proportion, hasn't it? They're only playing football, these chaps.
Yes, yeah, that's a fair point. They are only playing football, yeah.
Do you think they'd be able to manage 2 matches in 48 hours?
Yeah, we were saying this the other day. I think we said when you had your week off, or 2 weeks off over Christmas, whatever it was. We were saying about tennis players. I mean, tennis players have to back up inside 48 hours.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. A much harder game, tennis. You know, a 5-set match in a Grand Slam, you'd say it's harder physically than playing with 10 other men on a pitch for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I'm not being disparaging to footballers, but yeah, a lot's made of it. But they, I mean, you know, I think with United, looking at the last two games, I thought they looked leggy against Tottenham, and I think against Stoke, I think they also ran out of steam. We also mentioned that if you, as a manager, if you give your players an excuse, I think they'll take it to some extent, even if it's just dropping off a couple of percent. Difference being here is that United could probably drop off 10%. If not more, and still get the job done. Be interesting to see what team he plays, because he's not blessed with lots of players to mess about with. You know, it's worth looking at team news and seeing who's coming back. I mean, you know, players, I mean, has Rojo come back yet? I mean, I know you say he's come back every week for the last month. if Rojo's nearing fitness eventually, maybe he'll get a game at Yeovil. You know, and other players who are nearing getting back towards fitness.
We've not seen Di Maria in ages.
No, I mean, imagine, I mean, that what an absolute joy that would be for you Yeovil fans, though.
Yeah.
If Di Maria played, I mean, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? World Cup finalist playing at Huish Park. The interesting thing about this, I was looking at Van Gaal in terms of a cup. You know, you've got to weigh up what foreign managers think of a cup. I agree with Derek. You know, why would you take this anything less than seriously? Because it's really probably the only thing they can win this season. And when you look back at his career, everywhere he's been, Van Gaal, he's won a cup before he's won a league. You know, so I think, you know, he sees the importance of winning, and I think they'll go relatively strong here against this team. You know, I can't really improve on what Derek's just said. I think that 6-4 is a great price for that handicap bet. When you see the teams, I think it's worth having a look at some goal scorers. I mean, you know, let's say Rooney starts, right? How can he be 3-4 to score against Yeovil?
Yeah.
I know he's been in good form recently. Falcao scoring, you know, got his scoring touch. If he gets a chance, he plays 7-10.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather have 7-10 for a striker to score against Yeovil, who are bottom of League One, than Man United at 2-9. So I think look at the team news and then pick whoever's up front for them. And, you know, let's say, even if it's James Wilson, I think whoever's up front for them will score. And you know, even looking back at some of the odds against prices for goal scorers, you know, Mata 21-20. Yeovil won't be able to cope with the midfield trickery, and if the ball's played back from our midfielders bursting beyond the attackers either. So I think have a look at the team news and then pick either an attacking midfielder or one of the front men around, you know, just the other side of odds on, other side of even money or just odds against. I think that's a good way to go, but I think they could score three easy here, United.
Manchester United -2 for both Lee and Derek. 6-4, Manchester United -2. The tea time kickoff on Sunday is Arsenal versus Hull, 5:30 p.m. Arsenal 4-11, the draw 7-2, and Hull 8-1. You'd have imagined, Lee, if you looked at this before the games on New Year's Day, that this looked straightforward. But Hull got the result they desperately needed.
Yeah.
At home against Everton. The Shrewdies got involved with that one. Arsenal were beaten by Southampton at St Mary's. So there's this different dynamic in this match now, I think.
Yeah, there is. Arsenal are a funny team, aren't they? I mean, so difficult to trust. I mean, they were a little fortunate to get away with a win at West Ham. I thought West Ham had a really good go, but they've been in really good nick. And then, you know, Southampton did a bit of a job on them. Shrewdies got involved in under 2.5 on that game as well. The even Shrewdiers got involved in Southampton under 2.5. Yeah. To be fair, but I think Arsenal will bounce back here. You know that they, you know that Man United game apart. They've been in really good form at home, scoring goals as well. And I think, you know, it's all right, Hull, you know, winning that game against a strangely out of sorts Everton team. But I don't think they go to the big teams and get results. And I think Arsenal will be at full strength here, ready to go for it. Of course, it's a rerun of the FA Cup final, which Arsenal won in extra time, 3-2 in the end. Remember, Hull got off to an absolute flyer there, didn't they? So one, you know, slightly different. If Hull have memories from that, which footballers seem to have, and go out all guns blazing and try and attack with the confidence they've gained from the Everton game, then both teams to score in the first half might be worth a little look. They scored after 4 minutes and 8 minutes at Wembley. Cazorla scored after 17, and it wasn't until the 20 minutes before the end that Koscielny finally equalised in the final. First half, both teams to score 15-4. Quite like that. I could see it being an open game.
This looks short to me, Derek. Arsenal at 4-11.
Well, it is. It's mightily short. And if it was a league game, I'd be on Hull. But it's a cup game, and yeah, I know that Hull got to the final last season, but they were very worried about relegation all the way through the season. They only beat it by 4 points in the end. I'm not sure that Steve Bruce would want to go through that again, particularly Hull's precarious position. He's got himself a bit of breathing space anyway after beating Everton. So, you know, if they were to lose at Arsenal, which people expect him to do anyway, it doesn't mean he's going to be facing the sack all of a sudden. You know, he's done the hard work beating Everton, and I've got a sneaking feeling that he'll play a very weakened side here and save his big guns for the for the league. I mean, I know they got to the final last season, could easily have won it, but it was a bit of a Millwall year. Remember when Millwall got to the final and they got there without playing anybody?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It was the same for Hull last season. I mean, they never met anybody. Southend, they got with Sheffield United in the semi-final. I mean, how jammy is that? Before that, it was Sunderland they played. You know, it was one of those freak years. I think it was Brighton they played, and they only beat in the replay in the fifth round. So that ain't going to happen again. And yeah, you're right. Arsenal are too sure, but I'm convinced it's going to be an unrecognisable Hull side sent out here, and I've got a feeling they'll shorten even further. So if it was a league game, it would be Hull without question, because Arsenal are definitely beatable. But I just think Arsenal will want it more. Well, they will want it, and Hull won't.
Two headline offers here, by the way. Aaron Ramsey to score and Arsenal to win is 2-1. Gaston Ramirez to score and Hull to win 20-1. Arsenal 4-11 for Derek, and Lee going with both teams to score in the first half, which is 15-4. On to Wimbledon, AFC Wimbledon versus Liverpool, which is a Monday night kickoff, 7:55 p.m. AFC Wimbledon 11-1, the draw 9-2, and Liverpool 1-4. This is the standout tie of the round, with a repeat of that 1988 FA Cup final, where the Crazy Gang infamously upset the odds through Laurie Sanchez to lift the trophy. Derek, can you still remember that day?
I can. I'll tell you a little anecdote about that day. My brother, idiot that he is, had fancied himself as a bit of a bookie on the side, and you know, in the air, he's not supposed to do that, I know, but some people do, and he'd laid Liverpool all year for the cup. So when Liverpool got to the final and they were long odds on to win it, he stood to lose $3,000, which he did. He had about a tenner in his pocket. You know, this was in 1988 or whatever it was. So you can imagine it, you know. And so, of course, I couldn't go supporting Liverpool that day because it would have meant financial ruin for my brother. So I had to support Wimbledon. And what a sickener that is. What an absolute sickener. Anyway, this game, 1-4 Liverpool. I mean, again, it should be a banker, shouldn't it? But the way they performed against Leicester. You know, I watched that game, Liverpool game against Swansea last week, and all the headlines the following day, Liverpool are back. You know, this was a top four performance. I didn't see it like that, you know. I just didn't see it like that. And sure enough, the team came home to roost against Leicester. They were outplayed by a team that were, you know, rock bottom of the Premier League, and got two goals from penalties that should never have been given. Two of the worst penalty decisions I've ever seen.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go for Wimbledon here.
Wow. Really? 11-1?
Yeah. Liverpool have still got the Europa League. You know, if I was a Liverpool manager, I would be targeting the FA Cup more than the Europa League, but the Europa League gets you into the Champions League next season. That's probably going to be Liverpool's best route. I can't see them finishing in the top four. I think there's something not quite right at Liverpool at the moment. Okay, Wimbledon are no well beaters, are they? You know, the mid-table in League Two. Not, you know, just an average League Two side. So they, you know, they shouldn't be beating Liverpool. But we said that about Oldham a couple of seasons ago as well, didn't we? I'm going to go for Wimbledon here. I think 11-1 Wimbledon is too big.
Got to ask you about Steven Gerrard as well, Derek. News overnight that he's leaving at the end of the season. What did you make to that?
Well, in the Mirror column yesterday, I said, what a fantastic bet Gerrard at 2-1 not to be at Liverpool at the end of 2015 was. I mean, the only sickener was having to wait for the payout, and that, you know, maybe we don't have to wait now. I mean, it's a sickener, you know, it'd be a shame to see him go, but at least he's not signing for another English club. He's not the player he was, I don't doubt that, you know, anybody can see that. But I tell you what, if you're being left out for Lucas, you know, I'd off as well. I'd be legging it. There's something not right, but his relationship with Brendan Rodgers, yeah, you know, Rodgers says all the right things in front of the cameras, but there's something not quite right there.
Yeah, because everyone seems to think it's Gerrard that's made the decision, but I'm not entirely convinced it's solely on Steven Gerrard.
I've got a sneaking fancy Rodgers doesn't want to bend over backwards to keep him.
But it seems like he's been told you're not going to be part of the first team every single week, and he doesn't want that. He wants to play football still. I mean, so Lampard's accepted the fact that he can't play every week, hasn't he? I suppose, but he's got his feet in under the table at Man City, so it's a bit different, isn't it?
Lampard was playing at Chelsea, Gerrard is playing at Liverpool, who haven't got the players Chelsea have.
No.
You know,
you're always going to look better, aren't you?
I tell you, if I was a Liverpool man, he would be the first name on my team sheet every week, even at his age now. He's just a colossus. So I think his pride has been punctured. He's seen that Rodgers doesn't want to necessarily keep him. Well, he's only been offered a one-year extension anyway, I think. Why not go make a few bob abroad and live in the sun somewhere?
At Liverpool 1-4 for this match lead. They've never lost to a fourth tier football league club in the FA Cup, winning 10 and drawing 2 of the 12 matches they've played against teams in the fourth tier.
Yeah, won't hear either.
They're 1-4 though.
That's obviously it's a very, very short price. I wouldn't be playing that bet, but I think there's other bets to look at. I think Liverpool when they're playing like they did, in spells against Leicester and when they play against Swansea, obviously the pace they move the ball around at will be too much for Wimbledon. I think that's fair. We saw that with Bournemouth once. Bournemouth had chances, and I favoured Bournemouth in that League Cup match. But once Liverpool got about them and got the nose in front, they were very difficult to stop. And I think Bournemouth struggled. And Bournemouth are a good side, a good Championship side, obviously. But they are conceding goals still. You can't get away from this fact that Liverpool are defensively susceptible. Another way to look at it, both teams to score, Liverpool to win 9-5. But the Wimbledon have got a player, Matt Tubbs, who's he's been playing in the lower leagues for a long time. He's scored goals. He's played against big clubs in cup competition before. I remember, I think it was when Crawley played Man U, he was in the team then, and people thought, I'll probably put him up then, to be fair, and he didn't score.
definitely then.
Yeah, no doubt. He's 12 in 22 games in the league this season for AFC Wimbledon. He scored in the last round of the FA Cup. He scored two, in fact, in the 3-1 win over York. Didn't score in the win over Wickham. That win over Wickham, by the way, is a decent result. Wickham are playing pretty well. So I'm going to trust Wimbledon to get a goal here, but I think Liverpool, it might be a similar result to the Bournemouth one. Kind of 3-1, something like that, away from home. Maybe have to do it the hard way. Maybe they'll concede first and have to pull it back round. But Matt Tubbs to score any time at 11-4 is my pick here.
Everton West Ham is the live game on Tuesday night, 7:45 PM kickoff. Everton 21-20, the draw 12-5, West Ham 5-2, and Roberto Martinez under severe pressure now. He inherited a team that was strong defensively, and ever since his appointment, they've struggled markedly at the back. The only decent result they've had in the past couple of months was that 3-1 win against QPR. That was at home, and everyone's obviously aware of QPR's dismal away record in the Premier League, so you can downgrade that performance, and he could be the next for the chopping block, Martinez.
Could be, yeah. There's a lot of rumours. Someone told me that the person who told them about Pardew going and Irvine going has also lumped Martinez in as well, and saying that he's heard that he's not long for the push. I don't know. I mean, the chairman's not a particular... He's not knee-jerk, really, is he? You don't generally think of him as being someone who worries overly about the league position. 13th in the division, 21 points. It doesn't look clever, does it, at the minute? And, I think that the defence, obviously, is the difficult bit for them. I think that West Ham look a good price at 5-2. What worries me is the manager. They don't do cups. In the past, the chairman, both the owners have said, we're not bothered about the cup, we're going to stay in the league. Now, the seventh, they cannot use that excuse this season, can they? Surely. I mean, they got beat 5-0 by Nottingham Forest last January in the FA Cup. In the League Cup, they got knocked out by Sheffield United on penalties. That's what troubles me here. 5-2. I think if they play a full team and they go for it, then I'd have to be with West Ham, but I'd have to see the team first. Because I think Everton will be more up for winning this game than West Ham, potentially. Away from the result, until the team news comes, Diafra Sakho, been with him quite a lot this season, looks to be getting back to his form after picking up that injury. Obviously scored against West Brom. and he's 15-8 to score in this game against an Everton team who are conceding goals for fun at the minute.
Mm. Okay, 15-8 if Diafra Sakho starts.
And West Ham if it's a strong team.
And West Ham if it's a strong team.
If it's
5-2,
a Premier League team.
Yeah, 5-2 the Hammers. It's a tough match, this one, Derek, because West Ham's run's ended, hasn't it, with defeats against Chelsea and Arsenal. Only drew with West Brom at home yesterday as well.
And by all accounts, were outplayed.
Yeah, you know. So it's tough, this match.
Well, it is. The first thing you'd have to say is that the odds are wrong. Everton shouldn't be that short. No one will be backing at those kind of odds the way they're playing at the moment. But Lee's right. The reservations about West Ham definitely apply. Look at their recent record in the Cup. They've gone 1 year in the last five. Have they gone past the third round? Four third round knockouts in the last 5 years. They're managed by Hippo Head, who's never really treated the FA Cup with any kind of, you know, he's never really given it the credit it deserves. It troubles me, this one. West Ham should go for a hell for leather, because they ain't going to be winning anything else. They ain't going to go down. You know, they should be really putting all the guns in this basket. But it's Allardyce, and he just doesn't do FA Cups. I really don't know what to think about this game. No idea.
Superb. Not a clue then on that one. It's a really tough match. Everton 21-20, draw 12-5. West Ham in the market at 5-2. Maybe wait for team news there, Lee.
And there was one other TV game, by the way, that we haven't done. It was Cardiff-Colchester. It's on BBC Two in Wales.
Okay. Next up then, we're going to look at some of the select non-TV games this FA Cup weekend. We'll start with Leicester versus Newcastle, Saturday 3 p.m. Leicester 6-4, the draw is 11-5, Newcastle in the market at 9-5. We don't know yet who Newcastle are going to appoint as manager, Derek. Fabrizio Colaccini was the big mover when the market opened, but he's drifted significantly subsequently. I'd be amazed if John Carver got the job, though, Derek, on a permanent basis.
Well, he's cheap. And that's, you know, that's the number one criterion for the fat controller. I backed Peter Beardsley at 20-1 on, I think it was Tuesday. 2 hours later, he was out to 66-1.
What a move that is.
Well, what did about? It's quite amazing, that, isn't it? I'm thinking, he's got to shorten. Beardsley's got to shorten. 66 is, I don't know. Who knows what goes through Ashley's head? I've no idea who they're going to appoint. Nobody knows. But you have to say, recent FA Cup form, Newcastle have to be opposed. I think they've only won one tie in the last 5 years, and none of their supporters had a shirt on to go with it anyway. So that was no good. I mean, they just go out in the third round, but, you know, every year it's a shocking record.
Same as West Ham, aren't they? They come out and say we're not interested in the cup.
Well, yeah,
weird,
I mean,
isn't it?
It is. I mean. It's basically he just wants to keep his place in the Premier League. Actually, he must be telling his managers. He has to be telling his managers we're not interested in the cups. Just as long as the big money is staying in the Premier League, we have to stay in the Premier League. Well, I mean, you know, the 27 points, you know, half mid table now. Their place in the Premier League isn't under threat. So if they're going to have a go at the FA Cup, this has got to be the year. But the Newcastle fans have said that for, you know, two or three seasons now, and they still go out in the third round. And the meeting aside, who really putting a bit of form together. Leicester were. I've spoken to a few Liverpool fans who were at the game on New Year's Day, Liverpool Leicester game, and Leicester were fantastic, apparently. And they were unlucky. They've been unlucky in recent matches as well. I think Leicester are certain. Seems they're going to be my banker bet of the weekend.
Right, wow.
6-4 Leicester to beat Newcastle at home. Derek's banker. These two sides, of course, already met in the league this season, and Newcastle edged it 1-0. At St James's Park, that was back in October. Newcastle 9-5, Leicester 6-4, draw 11-5 here, Lee.
Yeah, I do agree with everything that Derek said about Newcastle and their cup form. I wonder with John Carver in charge, if he'll just be looking to. Yeah, surely he wants this job, whether it's on a short term basis until end of the season, or if he finally takes it. I mean, he fits in with Pardew. He's a very let's say confident chap, John Carver, very very assured of himself.
Yeah,
that's a nice way of putting it. So I think he'd be up for getting any result that's out there. Leicester's cup form isn't anything to write home about either. Even when they were flying in the Championship, they didn't do particularly well in the Cups last season. And I think they've got bigger fish to fry. Obviously, in the Premier League, rock bottom, 3 points adrift of Burnley and 4 points adrift of safety at the moment. So I can imagine them maybe weakening down a touch here. They've got Villa and Stoke to come, both at home over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to, against my kind of better judgment on the outrights, I'm going to go for a Newcastle win here at 9-5. I can't, you know, for a team who obviously have got decent players, Newcastle are 10th and the 9-5, Leicester 6-4. I can't really have that, but I do need John Carver to get the team up and running. I do take into consideration what Derek said, and if they weaken down ridiculously, then the bet's worthless, really. But I'm trusting that he'll go for it here, John Carver, and Newcastle 9-5 is my pick.
Okay, difference of opinion there then.
Scoring goals as well, by the way. You know, Newcastle
they were poor against Burnley.
Yeah, conceded three against Everton, conceded two. So that's another thing. There could well be goals here because Leicester can't keep clean sheets. I mean, you could even be looking at over 2.5 goals price isn't fantastic. 19-20, all right though. Over 3.5 at 12-5, you can see 4 goals in this.
Okay, Tranmere versus Swansea. Also,
this is the one.
At a 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Tranmere 7-1, the draw 7-2. Swansea 2-5. Scoring has been a problem for Swansea.
Yeah,
despite Wilfred Boney's last minute equaliser against QPR, they've only scored more than once in their last 9 matches. That was once again at home against QPR. I see this game as a difficult one for Swansea.
There you go.
Well, I was going to say it's their third away match in 6 days. You know, they went to Liverpool on Monday, QPR on New Year's Day, and now back up to Merseyside for Tranmere. They're not great. They've lost. Boney's not playing now, is he? He's buggered off to the African Cup of Nations. Tranmere putting together a little bit of a run of form. I mean, you know, they've had a bad season. I think they're only third from bottom in League Two. But recent home results have been pretty good. I remember back in Tranmere in an FA Cup match, a third round match against Everton. I remember a few years ago, I think it was the same weekend that West Ham beat Man United 1-0 and put them in a double. I've still got some of the winnings left now. And I'm a tight shit as well. I'm going to go for Tranmere, you know. I've just got a sneaking feeling here that they're going to do a number on Swansea. So, you know, if any team's going to be knackered, it's going to be the Welshmen after the schedule they've had recently. I like the look of... I like the look of it. And also, by the way, Swansea got to the fifth round last year, but that's their first decent run in the cup for a good few years. Yeah. You know, two third round exits and 2 fourth round exits in the previous 4 years. They, you know, like a few teams, they don't do FA Cups. So I like the look of Tranmere. This has got the sniff of an upset.
Two headline offers here as well: Max Power to score and Tranmere to win 16-1. Nathan Dyer to score and Swansea to win 3-1.
Great name, by the way, Max Power.
I know. It sounds like something you have on your tennis racket, doesn't it?
Yeah. Or a deodorant, I was thinking.
was that a little hint to me, that?
No, I'm saying next to Dave.
Yeah, that was the sniff of the upset I was talking about.
Indeed, yeah.
It's a big price, isn't it, 7-1, Lee?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't like it again, Derek.
Well, I mean, the third bottom of the Football League... That's what's worrying me here. It's not like they're a confident team here.
Oh, no. They're in the best run of form recently.
Yes, they are.
In recent times.
And the home form has been decent. Yeah, they've got their own African striker, of course, as well, haven't they, who scored in the previous round when they beat Oxford. Odajai scored in that game. Hasn't been scoring many, though. If you're looking for a bit of a quirky goal scorer, then that might be worth a look. He's 16-5 to score any time here, Coyote Odajai. So I think this is a tricky one because I cannot have Swansea 2-5 for anything. But then I'm not that confident on Tranmere to win the game either. But what I do think is that, you know, I know Swansea haven't scored many goals in the Premier League, but I think they will score goals in the league. So I think I'll be happy to play goals, but I think Tranmere will have a go as well. Nothing to lose really here, have they? So I'm going to go for a Swansea win and both teams to score here. I think Tranmere can get a goal. They have been scoring at home in League Two. I'm going to go Swansea to get the job done. I can't see them losing to Tranmere. and both teams score 11-5.
Okay, 11-5 match result, and both teams to score Swansea.
Have you seen this thing, this market, special market? How many Premier League teams will qualify for the fourth round? By the way,
I've not seen that.
The 16 is the maximum that could qualify, and that's 16-5. Exactly 15 is 6-4, and 14 or less is 11-10. I mean,
you've got to have a go at that. 16. That's six. That's just over 3-1. That's a terrible price.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
It's a shocker, that, isn't it? You've got replays, I suppose, on your side with the draws.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Thinking that none of them are going to get beaten.
Yeah.
There are four all Premier League ties, so there's guaranteed four in the FA Cup fourth round, and that's taken into account. Of exactly 16 is the maximum you could possibly hope for. So, well, worth a look, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd be taking that on. West Brom Gateshead next. This is Saturday, 3 p.m. as well. West Brom 2-9. The draw 9-2. Gateshead 14-1. Lee Tony Pulis likely to take charge here for West Brom. It's weird how he's suddenly being portrayed as the messiah in many circles. It is, though, isn't it? Because yeah. I thought his time had come to an end at Stoke. He'd been hounded out at Stoke, really, and people thought his tactics were old hat and his time in the Premier League had come to an end, but then had six good months at Crystal Palace, and suddenly he's back in favour again.
Yeah, I think he's run out of tracksuit. You know what I mean? He don't want to keep buying his own tracksuit, so he's gone to West Brom thinking, I'll get one of theirs. Theirs look decent. Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth noting right now, if you're of that opinion, which you clearly are, note down now that West Brom aren't in the relegation
Absolutely.
Zone. They're a point above.
Yeah.
If they finish a point above the drop zone, everyone will think he's a brilliant.
Yeah, they're odds on to survive. They're pretty long odds on to survive here. And if West Brom do survive, Pulis will be made out to be some sort of miracle worker.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So it's worth bearing that in mind. And I think a lot of the things that we said, you know, about was it Pardew we were talking about before? You know, getting off to a good first result. I think that applies here. You know, he won't want to go into this game and lose to Gateshead, will he? You know, 11th place in a non-league table. So I think there were signs against West Ham, as we've already mentioned, that they were coming back. You know, that the three previous defeats were poor. You know, obviously losing to Man City is not so bad, but, you know, the loss at Stoke wasn't great, and the loss at QPR as well. But, you know, maybe they've got some goals in them, and I think they can get the job done here. But again, look at this price, 2-9. It's absolutely scandalous, that price. You can't back West Brom at 2-9 against anyone. So I'm going to go for. I've been keeping an eye on Sado Berahino over the last few weeks. We were all over him early in the season. He had his troubles off the pitch and his form dipped. He was hitting the post and then he getting back into form. Scored of course against West Ham. I'm going to go for him to score two or more here at 5-2 against Gateshead. I think it'll be right up his street. This good match practice for him. Good bit of confidence. To be fair, you know, 5-2 for two or more. 11-1 for the hat trick. I'm tempted by that, to be honest with you, because, you know, I think it's a massive jump in price for a quality player against non-league opposition. 5-2 to 11-1 for one extra goal. So I'll go 5-2, but wouldn't put anyone off having a couple of quid on the hat trick for Sado Berahino.
Derek, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, it's a Premier League team and playing against a non-league team. And the difference here, the ones we've seen earlier, is that the Premier League team are at home. So there's none of this, you know, unfamiliar surroundings, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, 2-9 West Brom, it does go against the grain. But Jesus, you know, and it's none of this messing around saying, you know, they're going to concentrate on Premier League survival, because this is a new manager in charge and he's got to get a win under his belt first time off. You know, imagine if he was to lose to Gateshead, you know, well, basically, he can't afford his team not to be
at it. He'd be gone already.
Well, yeah. So 2-9 is a banker, but, you know, it's only for the big hitters, isn't it, really? Yeah, you know what I'm looking at? You know, I think, I don't know if it was you mentioned it, Lee, a couple of weeks ago, and I watched a few of their highlights. Julian Lescott to score, 7-2 to score at any time in this game. He's he gets up for all kinds of set pieces. He's as likely to score as most defenders, Julian Lescott. And I like the look of that one. It's a game that leaves me cold from a betting point of view, but I'll probably have a little dabble on that one.
If he scores in this game, it was me who mentioned it. If he doesn't, let's just forget it ever happened.
Let's have a look at Sunderland versus Leeds then. This is 1 p.m. on Sunday. Sunderland 6-10. The draw here 13-5. Leeds in the betting at 5-1. Derek, Leeds are in disarray at the moment. 1 point above the relegation zone. And I watched that match on Tuesday night against Derby. That was really poor. I mean, they were terrible in that match.
Yeah, it was a sound beating, wasn't it? And they'd got lost previously to Wigan. It's a long, mind you, they'd beaten Derby, hadn't they? Not so a few weeks ago. That was our home, though. They do seem in disarray. Something's not quite right there. And Sunderland are doing my head, and I just can't catch it. I mean, to come back like they did against City at the weekend, you know, and deservedly so. They had a few good chances, didn't they, in that second half? They're plenty short enough Sunderland here, aren't they? But I just can't see them not beating Leeds. Just the way Leeds are playing right now. It's taking a leap of faith to back the visitors here, even at 11-2, 5-1, wherever they are, the way they've been shaping up in the last few weeks. I'm going to go for Sunderland as a banker, even at just, you know, long odds on.
6-10, Sunderland, the draw 13-5, Leeds 5-1. Lee?
Yeah, I'd be happy to put that in an acca at 6-10. I think that's a fair price. Like you say, Leeds are struggling for their lives at the minute, and I wonder if the manager... It's funny, isn't it? Because I think a lot of the foreign managers now tend to put stronger teams out than some of the English managers who've got much more pressure on the shoulders. You know, staying in the Championship is more of an issue for Leeds, and the recent cup form hasn't been particularly great. You know, you'd think to yourself, wow, you know, big tie like Bradford City away in the League Cup, lost 2-1 to Bradford City, and didn't do particularly well in the FA Cup last year. This game has got obviously a lot of meaning to Leeds United fans. They met Sunderland in the FA Cup, of course, in years gone by, and you know the shirts are still sold with all the players squiggles on them. 1-1 in the Centenary Cup final. But I don't think that'll matter now. I think it'll matter to the fans, but none of these players are going to know, you know, about that, and that won't have much resonance. Maybe for the Sunderland supporters, who are always up for it. I think it's a good price for a Premier League team who, you know, I think who will maybe benefit from the relaxation of this game. You know what I mean by that? You know, I think Sunderland, the pressure that they're under in the Premier League, I think they might relax a little bit and score a couple against Leeds.
Relaxation a word?
Relaxation.
Relaxation, yeah.
I think we can all.
Well, yeah, God, you are overworked there. You don't even recognise the word. You're not a word for William Hill employees, obviously.
It's just on a week off. It's 10 days off over Christmas, and he's relaxed that much. He's forgotten what vocabulary is.
I've slipped into a coma. I'm not relaxed.
I'm not surprised. These games are. I'm struggling to get through it. Adam Johnson, 7-5, obviously scored in that game the penalty against Manchester City. I don't mind that. You know, I think it's about time he got back into a little bit of form. Yeah. But I think all the goal scorer prices are good for Sunderland. Stephen Fletcher, 10-11, if he's in good nick. Connor Wickham, even money, might be worth a look as well.
Okay, Sunderland 6-10 to win that one. Southampton versus Ipswich, the penultimate match this weekend. We're going to look at Southampton 4-9, the draw 3-1. Ipswich in the betting at 7-1. Southampton have, Lee, come out of their mini slump in a bit of style with wins against Everton and Palace, draw against Chelsea, and they followed that up with that comprehensive victory on New Year's Day against Arsenal as well. It's a good test in the first round proper, though, against an Ipswich side who are 1 point behind Bournemouth in the Championship. They've only lost one of their last 15 as well. This looks like a good cup tie, this one.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I'd like to have a go at Southampton in some form here or other, but I think the manager likes the cups. You know, look at the League Cup run. Obviously, you know, it was good until the form seemed to drip away and they lost to Sheffield United. But before that, you know, they'd beaten Arsenal and beaten Stoke. So I think that was more a case of the confidence lacking rather than him putting out rubbish teams. I think Ipswich are more likely to weaken down than Southampton here because, you know, it's time and time again. Championship managers have seen their season hit by good cup runs because, you know, the run seems to coincide with either the League Cup latter stages or a good run in the FA Cup early stages, and it gets a bit too much for them with the build-up of games. So I could see Ipswich maybe weakening down here. Their next game is against Derby County on the 10th. I mean, that is a huge game for them at home to Derby, 12:15 kickoff. So if anyone's going to weaken down, I think it'll be Ipswich. Unfortunately, if they go strong, I could have a little go on them in some form, not to win the game, but maybe plus one at 9-5, or maybe even plus two at 8-13. But as it is, I'm gonna expect Ipswich to weaken down. I'm gonna expect Southampton to go for this and continue the good form, and I'm gonna go Southampton -1 at 11-10. I think they'll win this 2-0, something like that.
Derek.
Well, this is a game where you've got to second-guess the managers, isn't it? Because, yeah, I take Lee's view on Ipswich on board there. I mean, they could weaken down because promotion to the Premier League is the be-all and end-all for them, and you know, they're sitting second in the Championship right now. But then you look at Southampton, and they'll never have a better chance of finishing in the top four. And would they want an FA Cup run to get in the way of that? You know, you could argue just as competently that Southampton are weakened down. So team news is everything in this one. Right now, if both sides played the recognisable teams, I'd fancy Ipswich at 7-1. I really would. I just think they're flying right now, and I don't think there's that golfing class between them and those lads in play. I'm going to go for Ipswich here at 7-1.
If you like Ipswich, and you can't quite back them, the other way to back them is Daryl Murphy to score, should he play, 5-2 anytime, 17-23 in the Championship so far. He's in great nick, and he scored 4 in his last 3, he scored 6 in his last 5 as well, got a brace against Brentford, got 2 against Leeds. Ipswich are scoring goals, so Daryl Murphy, if you're looking for a goal scorer.
And we finish off this week's punt with Burnley versus Tottenham, which is Monday 7:45 p.m. Burnley 7-2, the draw 5-2. Tottenham in the market at 4-5. Surprised, Derek, this one's not being televised. This one looks a good tie. This
it
one
does look a cracker, doesn't it? Two teams in banking form as well. I mean, Burnley have been fantastic, and what a performance by Tottenham on New Year's Day. I mean, I remember last year, Lee, I made 4-1. I started off with Tottenham on New Year's Day, a 4-1 winner, and I went for them again at the weekend, a 4-1 as well. Sadly, they weren't my bet of the weekend, though. Again, Burnley got a few injuries, didn't he, the other day? That worries me, what kind of team they'll pour out. Great to come back from Newcastle with a point, three behind 3 times, came back. But then you look at that performance from Tottenham. What was I saying about Harry Kane a few weeks ago? Didn't rate him? Dear, have I got that wrong?
I've been saying that all season as well, Derek.
Well, I mean, you know, if it was a horse racing, the stewards would hold an inquiry into his improved form, wouldn't they? You know, he's been languishing around on loan for, you know, all kinds of teams, and now he's performing like a world beater. Just incredible. It was a sensational performance against Chelsea. It really was. But what a player Hazard is, by the way. Still, I love watching
he's
that keeper.
Was it for his goal? There was a little turn that he did that seemed to defy logic, the way he kind of went. He went one way, then somehow made his body go the other way.
You think he's got like you think he's really small because of how quickly he moves, low centre of gravity. He's not actually that small, is he, either? He's just an incredible talent.
Yeah, great
proper footballer. But back to this game. I'm going, if Burnley puts it, you know, Burnley's walking wounded, come back here, I'm going to go for them at 7-2. I just think it's too big. You know, I know that they're troubled by relegation, and they might, you know, they might want to just concentrate on their league. But the way they're playing right now, they're nobody's mugs, are they? And Tottenham, they blow a bit hot and cold, let's put it that way. They're in a great run of form right now. 5 wins in their last 6. Could easily have beaten Man United in that 6th game as well. 7-2 Burnley to beat Tottenham. Tottenham are odds on away from home to beat a team who are in good form. No, I'm not having that. I'm going to go for Burnley.
This could be a letdown as well, I think, Derek, for Tottenham. That big result, they might just relax a little bit. Relaxation here for Tottenham. 4-5, Lee?
It's all fair what you said, but I do fancy Tottenham. I must admit, in the form they're in, I think, you know, Tottenham, you know, obviously going for the top four, but, you know, surely they'd like to win something as well. Always a worry with a foreign manager, and I remember that Pochettino did rest players when he was at Southampton, but didn't take it seriously, did he? Remember, there's quite a lot of hoo-ha about the fact that how many players he rested. So again, team news is absolutely everything. You know, this is the kind of game that Harry Kane, who I've championed from day one, would have played in a few months ago. Now he might be rested in it, might he? That's the thing. So, you know, I'm not sure. It was funny on Match of the Day, they compared him to Thierry Henry, to Alan Shearer, to Teddy Sheringham. And to Jurgen Klinsmann. I mean, what? I mean,
he's an amalgamation of all four, isn't he?
There's a look. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, if he's that good. I don't know. I mean, why don't we chuck Messi and Ronaldo in as well? I mean, he did have a very, very good performance, though. Yeah, so if the teams are as strong as they should be, then I'm going for Tottenham, and I'm happy to go for them at 4-5. To be honest with you, I mean, you know, their away form has been great recently. But what I will do for a quirky one, just to finish off with, Tottenham 2-1 at 15-2. Okay. They beat Leicester 2-1, Swansea 2-1, Hull 2-1, Asteras Tripolis 2-1, Aston Villa 2-1. AEL 2-1 all the way from home. There have been other results, obviously, and they have lost to Chelsea and Besiktas along that run. But 2-1 to Tottenham. 15-2.
Okay, 2-1 Tottenham, 15-2. Let's conclude with the naps then.
Did I text you two the next sentence? I don't appear to have written them down in my phone.
No, you've not texted me the
The previous one. So this is the... I'm not sure whether we should take this from... So before Derek started, this was the standings.
There wasn't even a punt podcast before Derek
well,
came
no, it was, maybe season,
as far
just
as I'm concerned.
I was plus 54.25. DK, you were minus 25.75. And the guest was plus 21.25.
Okay.
So, I mean, I've put in a lot of hard work there. I've built up a nice little kitty. And then Derek starts. And Derek, you're winning. You're on £85.25. Now, DK, I've not written down yours. But I think you're on £40 before...
Before
this one that landed. So that was, what price was that?
11 to 5. Yeah.
It's decent. And I was losing, but I had the 5-2 winner and then a 10-11 winner. So we're pretty even, Stevens. Derek's in the lead on about 80 quid.
By miles,
are we starting from when, what are we doing? Are we just going to say, I'm happy if you just say to me now, DK, well done, Lee. You won the early season one. You're better than me. Up to that point, and I bow down to you, and then we'll carry on from when Derek
I was just
started.
Biding my time, you see, on that. I thought that they were practice naps. I thought they were practice naps.
You did treat them like practice naps, to be fair.
Until Derek was back.
All you've been doing is napping for the last 10 days.
We'll start from when Derek returns.
All right. Okay. So Derek, you're in the lead.
We're all doing okay.
You were absolutely flying, Derek. You had a couple of losers over Christmas. You were like,
yeah. Stoke one was unlucky. Another crossbar hit.
I know. I should have had a midwinter break.
I must point out, much to most people's annoyance, at this nap system, you get your 10 quid stake back.
Yeah. It's
that's why it looks better than... People still give me a stick on Twitter about this. Shane Bannon, is it?
Yeah.
In particular, hates this system. But it makes us look a little bit better,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, of course.
And we're upfront about it. You get your tenner back. That's what happens to punters.
You just need
Shane
to.
Shane had a go at me on Twitter. I said to him, will you give your tenner back to William Hill every time you ever win it then?
That's a good point. Fair point. Yeah. Derek, what's your nap this weekend?
I'm going to go for Ipswich, 7-1 to win at Southampton.
Wow.
Yeah. I'd also put in a word, by the way, for Stoke to win the cup at 40-1.
Wow.
Big price there. Yeah, but no, it's not going to be enough, but I think they're overpriced Stoke at 40-1. They've got Wrexham at home in the third round. Four Premier League teams at least are going to go out, and they got to the final a few seasons ago, and they've got, the safe, etc., not going to be in Europe. Yeah, Stoke, big price, 40s. But yeah, Ipswich 7-1 to beat Southampton.
Okay, Ipswich 7-1 to beat Southampton. Mr. Phelps?
You can go first if you like.
You know what, I'm going to go with Sunderland -1 against Leeds, at home to Leeds. I think Leeds are in... As I mentioned, in disarray. I think Neil Redfern is a poor appointment as manager. I think he's a much better coach than manager. I was taken by Sunderland's comeback against Man City despite the loss. So I'll go Sunderland -1, which is 7-5 against Leeds United. Lee?
I'm going to go for a goal scorer, and I'm going to think that Liverpool are going to concede. So I'm going to go for Matt Tubbs. It was 11-4, I think I said he was, wasn't he, to score in that game. 11-4 to score any time against Liverpool in the rerun of, what was it, the 1988?
88, yeah.
It was 88.
I was a Liverpool fan at the time, actually, back then.
Were you really?
Yeah, I was.
How come you're not anymore, then?
I don't know, really. I just kind of...
You grew out of it.
I was a glory hunter.
Ipswich 7-1 to win at Southampton. Sunderland -1 at 7-5. Matt Tubbs at 11-4 to score any time in the match between AFC Wimbledon and Liverpool, 71-1.
I'm not as confident about that one. If I'm being
FA Cup weekend.
Yeah, yeah, it's a loosener, isn't it?
Yeah.
We can't be held accountable, can we, for losing bets on FA Cup weekend? Thank you, Mr. McGovern.
Pleasure.
Cheers, Derek.
See you, lads.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps, and thanks to everyone for listening to The Punt. Remember, you can download this via iTunes or get it on our audioboom.com page as well. I've enjoyed that.
Yeah, what I would say is that Pete Farries and Mark Walton are doing another 6 FA Cup games, all championship ties. So if you want a few more FA Cup bets, then go and find that in the same
place. And
you
really are a glutton for punishment, aren't you?
Yeah, no, Mark's doing that one.
All right,
yeah,
okay.
Mark Walton's doing that. I'm off out to see Robbie at his house to talk about these FA Cup matches again. So, yes, I am a glutton for punishment. And all the League One and League Two games that are left are done by Sam Ashew on the other league podcast.
Thank you for listening to The Punt this week, and we'll be back for Premier League action next weekend. It's been a pleasure, folks, and we'll speak again very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.